Dr. Bella Savitsky joins us now on the line. Doctor, thank you so much for talking to us. How did your personal story lead you to push for an IDF sperm bank?
My study expertise was not related to reproductive issues at all. So I was dealing mostly with the study questions about the social economic status influence on health. When, first of all, my daughter was in the combat unit during her army service. Her combat service lasted for 3 years. And after her release, my son was recruited immediately. And then he was serving for 2 years and 8 months in a commando unit. It's an additional 4 months left till his release. So I was waiting for him to start his new life as a free man, you know, as an Israel army service is something which every young man or woman must to do. They have no choice. On October the 5th, he came home for weekend. But the next day, he was taken back for some operation. You know, he was dealing mostly with catching terrorists. So on October 7, his unit was available for operation. They were not at home. They were already in the army. In the morning of the October 7th, their commander will wake them up with the sentence, it's a war. They need us. So it was a very urgent situation, as almost 6,000 terrorists intruded through the southern border to the small villages, kibbutzim, in the south of the country, and the massive massacres started. They were killing and tortured and a lot of citizens. More than 1,500 people were killed. These days. So the unit of my son was sent to one of the villages where also army base was nearby. This village and this army base was already under the control of terrorists. So they got the task to release this army post. So they arrived to this army post and the small village near the border. They were only 13 young men, 20, 21 years old. They were underarmed because while they doing this, their previous work, RPGs and the grenades are not allowed in this area. So they came only with the personal weapon. While a terrorist had a lot of RPGs and grenades, etc., the battle lasted for almost 8 hours because some of the girls which were in this army base, this is army base which mostly dealing with looking on the border, there are a lot of female unarmed soldiers. Who watch the border through the, you know, cameras, electronic surveillance border unit. It was 32 such girls in this basis. So the unit of my son had to release all these girls and the additional soldiers who were in the base. And the battle lasted for 8 hours because they didn't have a clue whether all the girls in the one room or probably in the dormitory. So my son was killed near the room number 11 in the dormitory of the female soldiers. He was killed together with two friends from this unit. And then we were waiting additional 2 days till the officers knocked to our doors to say that Jonathan is killed. So we didn't know nothing. And when I asked for posthumous sperm retrieval from his body, because of such a big delay, and this procedure should be done within 24, maximum 36 hours, because of the delay, his genetic material was already dead.
Bella,
So after that,
Firstly, I want to say how deeply sorry I am for what happened to Jonathan. And I'm very grateful that you are brave enough to talk to us about it. Did you have the idea of setting up a sperm bank for soldiers before your son passed away, or was it something that you thought about afterwards?
Unfortunately, I didn't think about these things. I was very optimistic. I believe that for additional months, and my son is a free man, starting his new life. I never spoke with him about, his opinion in regarding to the question of genetic continuity after the death of the man. So I have no idea. I didn't know nothing about this ethic, dilemma. So for a question, no, I didn't know. I didn't think about it, and I didn't speak with my son about it.
Why?
And I'm very, very regret about it.
Why is it important for you now to set up a sperm bank for soldiers?
I think that my personal grief was much more difficult than it could be if I had an opportunity to, have son or daughter, my grandson or granddaughter from my son. Knowing that my son, he was such a wonderful boy, such intelligent, with excellent sense of humor, such a beautiful person, will disappear without leaving nothing after him. These thoughts were just, torturing me and added a lot of pain to my grief. So I was thinking, what can I do to prevent such a disappointment from other parents? So I had the, first of all, I wanted to know about posthumous sperm retrieval, what Israeli men think about genetic continuity after death, because there is no study about it. So I started to study this question. And after that, I was thinking about the possibility of sperm bank, because it's much better than to take genetic material after the death of person, because it doesn't matter. Even if we will take it almost immediately, the sperm not good as a sperm which is taken from the healthy man who is alive, who can, sign papers and exactly say what he allows or not allows to do with this genetic material.
So
I think that the sperm bank
Can you just bring us up to date? Is it happening? Is it something that has started? Do a lot of soldiers want to give their sperm before they go to battle?
No.